Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Home for Boomer and Warner in the morning. Jim Rome, Hockey Central, The Big Show, and tons of play-by-play. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary's home for the Flames in the National Hockey League. Weekdays on the drive home, Rob Kerr has 60 minutes of must-hear radio 5 to 6 p.m. Get the inside stuff from Rob Kerr and the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and other special guests. Find out what is up with the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960's Inside Hockey is for Calgary Co-op. Grab tickets to the next Flames home game at Calgary Co-op. Second level tickets start at $39.95 plus tax. Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The best insiders, the breaking sports news when it happens, tons of play-by-play. Calgary, this is your sports radio. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You take the midnight subway train.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Game day for the Flames. Carolina Hurricanes in town. 7 o'clock start. As we get into it with Derek Wills.
The Flames Insider is brought to you by Varsity's Holy Truck Sale. Featuring the 2014 Ram 1500, starting at $19,997. Go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Flames are 4-3-1 on the season, but have yet to win on home ice. And it's always dangerous. Parity in the NHL, trap game. Beware a team that has something to play for. I think all of that may apply to the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, Derek. But at the same time, it would look like for the Flames as good a chance as any to get that first home win.
Absolutely, but like you said, they do not want to take the Hurricanes too lightly because Carolina is probably going to be a desperate hockey team, and I don't think Calgary's in a position to take any team in the National Hockey League lightly. So a great opportunity for the Flames to get their first home win and to maybe, if they can play a good game from start to finish, get some of the guys who have been struggling offensively going.
We can only surmise that the goaltending rotation would continue. I know that they're coming off that, defeat, but at the same time, it's been working between Ramo and Hiller.
Yeah, like Bob Hartley said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you certainly can't blame Kari Ramo for the loss a couple of nights ago. He certainly gave them a chance to win, especially with that save he made in overtime on Jonathan Drouin going in there 2-0 with Steven Stamkos. In my opinion, the save of the season so far. And he's been terrific, and Heller's been terrific. So you might as well ride these two guys in tandem as long as you can, because right now it's working for the Flames, and they're getting from their goaltenders what they need to get from their goalies, and that is they're giving them a chance to win each and every game. And when the forwards are struggling, and some of them are right now, and you're relying on your defensemen largely for your offense, you're going to need great goaltending. And sooner or later, the forwards are going to have to get going, and when they do, if the goalies are still playing as well as they have been to this point in the season, this could be a pretty tough team to beat, guys.
A rare chance to catch their breath at home. They had the home opener and then left immediately on the road. They came back, had a game the next day. Not a lot of practice time, and as I say, not a lot of time just to kick back, so the Flames might be feeling a little rested coming into tonight.
Yeah, and they're one of the league leaders in games played so far this season, and it was a long preseason, and training camp was tough. So I think it's a good opportunity for the guys to recharge the batteries and get set for a little bit easier schedule for the next month or so. Don't have back-to-back games until the end of November. So it's a chance for the guys to get into a bit of a routine here where they don't play every second day and they have a chance to, maybe show us what they've got at full strength. Because I think in some games to this point in the season, some of the guys looked a little bit tired. So now we get to see these guys and what they can do when they're well-rested. And it's not just about the physical side of it. It's about the mental side. When you're traveling all over the map and playing all kinds of games, I think mentally you're not as sharp as you'd like to be. So this is a perfect chance for the guys to be good both physically and mentally and show us what they can do.
For the Hurricanes, this is game 3 of a 5-game road trip. As documented, they have yet to win this season. It's not been a very good... I mean, obviously, they haven't won, but they've not had luck on their side at all. They lose Jordan Staal to the broken leg in preseason. Eric Staal has played just twice. He was put on the injured reserve. We know that Jeff Skinner missed time due to a concussion. If there's a bad break to be had, they've had it.
Yeah, they haven't had a lot of luck this season as far as injuries are concerned. And, you know, they're a pretty thin hockey team. I'm not going to lie. Taking a look at their roster, they don't have a lot of depth, and I'm not sure who would have a lot of depth losing, you know, high-quality players that you just mentioned. But they're still a team that has some talent, and Jiří Tlustý is off to a good start, 5 points in five games. Same can be said for Chris Terry. Riley Nash has 4 points in five games, so he's off to a decent start. Alex Semin, off to a bit of a slow start, only 2 points in his first five games, but he's the type of player that can burn you at any time. So it's still a team that has some weapons, and the Flames will have to be careful with the Hurricanes tonight.
A chance to, and again, I know it's, we talked about it, I think, yesterday, and it showed up in the paper today, a little bit of talk about Sean Monahan and his play to this point. I know the coach, boy, if there's one thing he doesn't have to worry about, Sean Monahan, it's having the coach in his corner. There's no doubt who Bob Hartley is supporting here, and I would expect that we'll see a lot of him tonight. Interesting that Elias Lindholm, the fifth overall pick, and Monahan, the sixth overall pick from that 2013 draft in this hockey game tonight.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting comparison for us tonight. And Monahan hasn't been bad. He just hasn't been as good as we want him to be or expect him to be. And that's because he set the bar pretty high in his rookie season, playing the way he did and scoring 22 goals. And I think that with what we saw from him last season and then again in the preseason, some of us may have raised the bar even a little bit higher. I know I did. I know that some said that he might take a step back as far as goal scoring goes this season, but with some of those snipes he had in the preseason, I wasn't so sure about that. I thought he might take another step forward this year, but I still believe that, you know, he's going to be a really good player. I don't believe in the whole sophomore jinx thing. I think he's going to get out of this scoring slump sooner rather than later, and I still believe it has a lot to do with that cold or flu that he had. He just doesn't seem to be the same player since he didn't eat for 3 days, and I guess that's understandable. I'm not sure I'd be the same guy after not eating for 3 days either, and I think it's just taking his body a little bit of time to recover from that, and if you lose a half a step or a quarter of a step at the NHL level, that is probably the difference between getting chances and not getting chances and scoring goals and not scoring goals. So he'll get there. He's starting to pick up some steam here, and I wouldn't be shocked if he finally broke out here tonight.
Rare visit by the Carolina Hurricanes. As we know, one visit per season now under the new schedule makers. So for Hurricanes fans, the one and only chance to get out and see their team tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, there are no big names. Eric Staal would have been fun to watch. But, you know, there's no Steven Stamkos on this team. There's no up-and-comer like Jonathan Drouin, and at least not to that level. But there are some pretty good players, and I'm interested in the battle between the pipes. They, like the Flames, do not have a clear-cut number one goaltender at this stage of the season. Anton Khudobin's played in three games. Cam Ward has played in two. And Khudobin's a guy who, you know, he's been a pretty good goaltender over the years. But Ward's a guy who, when the Olympics rolled around back in 2010, people talked about him maybe being the starting goaltender. But he seems to have lost a little bit of confidence. He's battled injuries the last couple of years. So he's the guy who's trying to find his career again. And, you know, like the Flames, I think the Hurricanes have two guys who can certainly do the job between the pipes. And it should be fun to see who gets to start for them tonight. We suspect Hiller gets it for the Flames.
All right, we'll be ready. 6 o'clock warm-up, 7 o'clock puck drop as a little bit of a homestand here for the Flames. We'll enjoy it. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, guys.
The Flames Insider is brought to you by Varsity's Holy Truck Sale, featuring the 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
You were chuckling, sir. What were you chuckling about?
Wow, because I know part of the deal is to talk these games up, but with all those guys injured, it's a tough sell.
Well, here, I did this with Pinder earlier. Let me be your Hurricane salesman.
This is a heck of a pitch I got at 6:08 or whatever it was.
Jeff Skinner back. Ooh. Back from concussion. This Airdrie native Zach Boychuk, he's been called up. This will be NHL game number 100 for Chucker.
So he's guaranteed a hat trick, which is cool.
Nice.
No, sorry, I made
just
that up.
Turn your mic off. Zach Voychuk, game 100. Brody Sutter, the son of dog Dwayne Sutter.
Ow.
He will play tonight.
Okay.
I believe it'll be his second NHL game ever.
Nice.
Ever. Calgarian lives down in my neck of the woods. Good to see him get in there.
Victor Rask.
Former hitman Victor Rask will play in this game tonight for the Hurricanes.
Okay.
And as mentioned, yes, a Conn Smythe Trophy winner on the ice tonight in Cam Ward.
Almost a decade ago. Hasn't won a game since.
Got a couple.
What are you? Why are you being so disrespectful?
Just because he's your boy.
Just because he's my boy?
Yeah.
He's my boy.
Brody Sutter will be interesting to watch. A seventh rounder. We talked about that earlier. Just you always love sifting through drafts and seeing the late gems. This guy was taken 193rd overall in 2011. 6'4". Huge frame. Finally growing into it a bit.
Think that he plays like a...
Sutter?
Sutter?
Chances.
Higher skill than most, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he's got some hands on him. It's
He's a softie?
Impressive. I wouldn't say he's a softie, no. But
better hands than whom?
Most of the Sutters, I'd suggest. Maybe I'm off base. Well, I saw his debut in Charlotte. I liked it. It was one game, not the sample size that's probably necessary.
Have you seen some of the Sutters' numbers?
Yes, but these are not the dance through the whole defensive team. There's a lot of going to the net here.
Did you see the goalies that the Sutters used to shoot on?
That's true.
I'm not answering that question.
Sorry, Brent.
Let's call. We should call.
So would you say he's a better offensive player than Brandon Sutter?
I don't know. We'll see.
I would say no.
Well, he's played two games. Boom. Like, yeah. Clearly he's not yet.
I would say he's maybe got the edge on Brett.
Where is old Brett?
Brett was captaining the Charlotte forever. They love him there.
Nice. Yeah,
he's, don't know if he's back there this year.
No, I don't think so.
The guy that's interesting is Andre Sequeira here, because he's one of probably their best defensemen, I think, after Falk. He's up at the end of the year. A lot of talk that he's being shopped. So if there's one part that every team seems to want to add, it's a defenseman. This might be the guy that Carolina parts with before the end of the year.
So there you go. Big time trade bait, Andre Sequeira tonight in the lineup.
They will be.
For the Hurricanes.
28.
Showcasing him tonight.
UFA.
Elias Lindholm, as I said, the fifth overall pick from 2013.
That's the biggest sell point, right?
He and Monahan, back-to-back in the 2013 draft.
Bad blood, too, I heard. Some real bad blood.
Right.
I'll tell you what, if Wills wasn't a good salesman, you're hardly a good salesman. And if I'm not doing a good job.
I'm saying it's a hard job to do.
If you're ranking games 1 to 41... This is below 38 in terms of home games.
I'm saying, especially with the injuries.
Listen,
the bugs.
You know what? Did you watch the game the other night?
Which one?
The Lightning. That was no screaming hell.
Well, they were back and forth.
Tonight,
at least they were skating.
Tonight, they might be trading chances. There could be some goals. Yeah, maybe the Canes aren't very good, but this could be a fun hockey game. We sit through enough. There are some stinkers that have nothing to do with how hard the Flames work or what have you.
I don't know if there's a stinker on Tuesday. It wasn't the best game.
It wasn't great.
There were some stars.
It wasn't
some nice plays.
It wasn't Minnesota.
There was a heavy hit.
They could have taken the second period out of that hockey game and no one would have missed it. Let's just play 40 tonight. All right.
That's fair.
Shootout?
You're right with that.
All right. Straight to the shootout.
Straight to the shootout.
Let's do it.
What do we got? Eric Duhatchik, NHL insider, coming up.
We promised him...
I know we did.
Margaritaville.
I kind of forgot the text line letting me know. I thought we were paired.
Well, why don't we can make the switch, because Rat has probably run its course.
Yeah, well, there's six rats on it.
What's wrong with Rat?
I love Rat. I'm just saying they don't have six.
If they have five, that's probably all right.
Four.
Got a phone call coming in. It's always good when people are calling you.
Kirsch. Like, hey. Well, put them on.
No, it's not Kirsch.
Put them on.
My favorite is people that you know well, like your family.
Oh, are you
significant
on?
Others who know your hours, yeah. Trying to reach you while you are on air. You do know what I do.
Yeah, it's 8:17. I'm doing my 6 till 10 shift. but yes, Eric Duhatchik, and I know he's in the building. Brian Callen, comedian. You've seen him on Mad TV. You've seen him in The Hangover. You've seen him on any number of programs that are slipping my mind, but very funny dude. Going to be at Yuck Yucks this weekend. You've seen him, Pinder. He is he's good stuff. Get out and see him this weekend. He's going to join us, I think, around 9 o'clock. And pools and props, NFL, ooh, all coming.
And our
and we have a high level meeting.
No, our pick. Because some of us are still alive in
Survivor football boom.
Yeah. Don't forget, please.
Boy, the enthusiasm's really dropped off
it's
of that side
even
of the
on
table.
His plate.
We're down to like less than 10 in each
league. Oh, I'll write it down.
Yeah.
If we have time.
There's some good names left.
Going to break. Sports at 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
From Rat to Jimmy Buffett. Tell you what, your regular music song station, they're not pulling that off. Only here, from Round and Round to Margaritaville.
Well, you make promises, you gotta fall through.
Yeah, you sure do.
You're a man of your word, Boomer.
Time to chat with Eric DeHatchick.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric DeHatchick is brought to you by Eastside Kia. The Gear Up and Save event is on. Save $3,000 on a 2014 Kia Forte LX Auto and get a low payment of just $57 weekly. Visit EastsideKia.ca.
Ask and thou shalt receive, Mr. DeHatchick.
All right, that's pretty good. Hey, you were just talking about strange transitions. Remember when the show used to be on 66 CFR when it was an oldie station and it was programmed by a computer?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm listening to it one time, and, you know, Satisfaction comes on right after the, you know, the break, and it's like, all right, Satisfaction. And then the next song was Sunshine on My Shoulders by John Denver. And it was like, what? What? Sunshine on My Shoulders after Satisfaction? What computer dreamt that? I called Gail Zabertani, who was the program director at the station back then. I said, Gail, don't you people look at these playlists? I mean, you can't have Sunshine on My Shoulders after Satisfaction under any circumstances ever. And when that comes up again on that computer automated, you know, the playlist selected by somebody other than a human being, change it. And she agreed with me that you cannot play John Denver after the Stones. However, you can play Jimmy Buffett after Rat, I think.
Yeah, I think that, one is acceptable, one clearly isn't. The Carolina Hurricanes coming to town here tonight, obviously, to take on the Flames. And it sounds disrespectful, right? But we've been trying to come up with, you know, go and see the Hurricanes. Flames and Hurricanes. Could be a good game tonight. Talking with Derek Wills, I mean, if there's a bad break for them to have, this is the Hurricanes now, they've gotten it. Between Jordan Staal with a broken leg, Eric Staal is out. He's played just two games. Skinner's back, but he was concussed. Their goaltending has not been that solid. It's the makings of a long year for Carolina.
Yeah, well, I went down there to their practice yesterday because I wanted to talk to Bill Peters. Does anybody else, by the way, think that it's a story that three of the coaching hires that were made in the National Hockey League this year all came through the Alberta Colleges system? You know, Bill Peters' first head coaching job was the University of Lethbridge, Mike Johnson up at Camrose College, Willie Desjardins here with U of C. I don't know. I think that's a really interesting story that I want to write for my other gig, that newspaper one that kind of pays the bills. But I mean, there was enough, you know, sort of being in the dressing room, being around with the team. Steve Smith's an assistant coach there, so we had a good chance to visit, that I can get where they're at as a franchise. I mean, they've had, as you say, the worst possible luck. I mean, Jordan Staal breaking his leg. I mean, you know, when they signed him to that $60 million contract, they felt with Eric and Jordan Staal, you know, that's your center ice core taken care of, and then you fill in all the other pieces. So you draft a Justin Falk, and you get Jeff Skinner, who's a Rookie of the Year winner, and you've got some pieces. So, you're right. They've fallen on hard times, and it's going to be a little while before they get out of it. And if there's a year to be really bad, maybe this is the year to be it. But Staal was skating around in a yellow sweater. He's only a couple of days, games away probably from playing. He'll probably play Tuesday in Vancouver when the road trip wraps up. I think when a team has the level of desperation that Carolina has, playing against a team like Calgary that has not won at home, I think that could be fun. I mean, sometimes the best hockey is when you've got two teams that are just prepared to go after each other. And I get the sense that that's what we're going to see from Carolina today. So I'm actually expecting maybe a more entertaining game than the one we saw the other night, which I thought was an extremely efficient game by the Flames for 58 minutes. But there was nothing very exciting or compelling about it, other than the fact that when push came to shove, Jonathan Drouin made a great play to get the tying goal, and then overtime was, you know, as wonderful as overtime can sometimes be. So I mean, I'm planning to watch it, and I think that it could be fairly entertaining. And a lot of the reasons you guys have already cited, I mean, I want to see Lindholm. Nobody on this side knows him in the same way that nobody in Carolina knows very much about Sean Monahan. These are guys that are very young in their careers, extremely talented, who are going to be, you know, players that you do talk about and rave about in a couple or 3 years' time. So I would beg to differ. I think we're going to see a fairly decent hockey game tonight.
And some serious bad blood between those two from
Well, no, I agree. There's none. But nevertheless, it's still going to be, Carolina has to win sometime. And so, you know, and they're looking at Calgary thinking, you know, we got to win sometime, and here's an opportunity to win a game. So let's come out firing on all cylinders with the personnel that we've got, and let's see where it goes.
Let's play the what if game.
All right.
What if Calgary loses? Is it a sign? No, is it a sign that they aren't what we hope they are? Is it are they?
No, you know what it is. It's the Flames. You know, as well as they played in the early going, everybody in the organization is aware of what they are and who they are, and their reality is that they have to be on it at every aspect. You know, clicking on all cylinders every night to compete. There are no, you know, as bad as Buffalo has been this year, these are NHL teams with NHL caliber players, all of them capable of making the play to win a game for you. You know, so there's none of these. You know, you can't look at that one and say, okay, well, Carolina, that one's in the win column. You know, the Flames aren't at that stage of their development yet either. So if they lose tonight, it's just, you know, back to the drawing board and, you know, continue the homestand and see where you're at. I mean, you know, who picked Washington to lose to Edmonton last night, and who thought that Scrivens, after having such a tough time in the goal for Edmonton for the first, you know, 7 to 10 days, could come back and have two very strong outings and you know, suddenly look like he's an NHL goaltender. I mean, it's still early. Teams are still sorting themselves out, and you know, and it'll be a long year for the Flames if you start to take, you know, any opponent for granted.
Anaheim, you go down there and play tennis and relax and put your feet up and watch them quite often. They come out of the gates again. What are they, 6-1 or something? And
they are.
And they look great. I mean, they've played Buffalo twice, I think, so there's two freebies. But still,
there's that thing again. There are no freebies.
But it looks like they're, once again, not going to lose very many. And yeah. With Kessler added, are they the team?
Well, I don't know if they're the team, but I watched that game last night, and a little bit deceptive, because Frederik Andersen was very good. I mean, you know, Buffalo, they talk about a desperate team. Holy mackerel, they were a desperate team, you know, just coming off the two shutouts. They had a lot of quality scoring chances against Andersen, and he was really good. And I think, you know, that was, to me and to everybody, was the big question about the Ducks, wasn't it? I mean, you know, they let Hiller go, they let Foch go during the season. They were taking a chance that the two young goaltenders in their organization would get the job done. And you know, we've only seen, you know, like a few minutes of John Gibson, because, you know, he got blown out in that first game and then actually went to the minors for a couple of games. But Andersen really looks like the real thing. I mean, he looks like he could be this year's Ben Bishop. Remember how, like, you know, Bishop was 6'6", and he went in there and he had, you know, credentials and everything else, but no one really knew how good he was going to be. And then he's the reason Tampa got in the playoffs last year. I think we can agree, you know, with the injury to Stamkos and everything else, having the consistent goaltending that he gave them was you know, the difference in their season. I think that as good as the addition of Kessler has been, that will help them. You know, Lindholm, it looks excellent. Sammy Vatanen is going to be a regular this year. They've turned him into the quarterback of the power play. They've taken Cam Fowler out of that position. That's actually an improvement, because Vatanen, I think, is just more gifted offensively. And Fowler's a good two-way defenseman. So the fact that he doesn't have those minutes means he can play more 5-on-5 minutes. So lots of the puzzle pieces are clicking into place for Anaheim. But the big thing is the goaltending. You know, Andersen has just been consistently good in every one of his appearances. I know they want to get Gibson in there at some point. But if he can continue this level of goaltending, you know, where he's a Vezina Trophy candidate, which is what Bishop was, then, yeah, maybe that's he's the guy. You know, he faltered a little bit in the playoffs last year, you know, and I suppose we won't know what kind of a playoff goaltender he really is until he gets a couple of cracks at it. But boy, he is the player, more so than Kessler, more so than any of those other developments, that has really helped Anaheim get off to that start.
Another team that interests me every year is Pittsburgh. They win that cup, and they're always kind of near the top in the East, but they never seem to get over that hump. They lose last night to Philly, who haven't been off to the best of starts. And again, early on, but we got to talk about it. What, in your opinion, what is Pittsburgh? Are Malkin and Crosby good enough to go and win a cup again, or has Fleury fallen off so much that they got to find a goalie? You feel like these guys got to win another cup, don't they?
It's a really good question because, you know, again, with only three games last night, I had a chance to see, rather than just jumping up and down the dial, I had a chance to actually watch the games. And you're right, Pittsburgh wasn't very good last night, you know, and they haven't been historically good at home against Philadelphia, no matter, you know, where Philadelphia was at. In fact, I think Sid Crosby was talking about that before the game, how you can never take them for granted. I mean, to me, you know, and I said this to a couple of people, tell me who the fifth best forward on Pittsburgh is. The fifth best, because I think we can all concede that Crosby and Malkin are exceptional players that, you know, that are going to get their 100 points if they stay healthy and are dynamic players in their prime and are difference makers. And, you know, I'll concede Chris Kunitz and I'll concede Patrick Hornquist, who's off to a good start. But then what? You know, you play 12, that's four. Is the next best guy Brandon Sutter? It probably is. You know, I don't think it's Pascal Dupuis. And, you know, Nick Spaulding. I mean, I think their forward group really falls off after four. So I think that, you know, Pittsburgh right now, to me, I don't think they're a Stanley Cup contender. But I do think that, you know, however Jim Rutherford makes them evolve and however Mike Johnson sort of installs his system, I think that they are a team that has some growth potential. I think that as they get used to the system under Johnson, they'll be better. And I see them as a team, you know, not imminently necessarily, but somewhere between now and the trading deadline, probably right at the trading deadline for cap reasons, that they will make some improvements to that cast of forwards. And I think then, you know, that the defense is fine, you know, 1-6 if Letang stays healthy. And Fleury is always going to be a question mark too, but they sound committed to them. So, you know, this version of Pittsburgh is not good enough, I think, to win a Stanley Cup. But I think that the final version, especially if their key guys can stay healthy, has a chance in a, you know, conference that's pretty wide open.
Early on, there's obviously coaches changes every year. But from your point of view, which new coach and new team, who's done the best job so far?
Well, I mean, wouldn't you say Peter Laviolette? I mean, I'm not sure that people thought very much about Nashville. I don't know if anybody in the National Hockey League thinks very much about Nashville. And I'm not sure that, you know, like, is Barry Trotz a new coach? Because, you know, obviously the Washington's off to a pretty good start, and it looks like, you know, the former Nashville coach has done a nice job of getting, you know, Ovechkin on side and putting some pieces in place there that might make them more competitive. But I really think that, you know, people had Nashville kind of grouped in with that sort of, you know, no chance to make the playoffs collection in the Western Conference. So with Calgary, with Edmonton, and they've been pretty good. They've been pretty good. And, you know, the theory there was that they just needed, you know, just a different change in philosophy. And, you know, when you think about, you know, the fact that a lot of their guys are like last chance guys. Ribeiro's a last chance guy. Derek Roy is a last chance guy. And they've, you know, gone out and been fairly competitive right off the start. And I would say that if they can keep this going, and if, you know, obviously if Rene still is healthy, he was a guy that his absence really contributed to the you know, mediocre season that they had last year, that they could be a team that, you know, if Colorado continues to slide. I mean, you know, of the teams that made the playoffs last year, of those eight, Colorado looks like the one that is the most vulnerable. If they, you know, continue to struggle the way they do, somebody from this group of six that didn't make it is going to press for that last spot. And to me, out of the early going, Nashville seems to have the best shot at it right now.
Eric, I haven't watched Colorado play, but how does that forward group have less than two goals a game? I mean, that is absolutely stunning to me that they're at 12 goals in seven games.
I'm as perplexed as I'm sure Joe Sakic and Patrick Roy are. I don't get it. You know, I mean, all of the analytics people said, yeah, they're going backwards this year, that they, you know, they don't have the zone time, they don't have this, they don't have that. They have all those, you know, the Corsi numbers don't add up there. But beyond that, I mean, they have so much talent. I mean, they're the opposite of a team like, you know, poor Carolina with the stalls out. I mean, they go they go six or seven deep up front. And Alex Tonga, who had a kind of like a so-so start to the season, he's scored a goal in each of the last three games. So I don't know, you know, McKinnon, you know, and I guess in the same way that Sean Monahan isn't off to the same scoring start, McKinnon isn't there either. And I think a lot more was expected of Nathan McKinnon because he was a 63-point guy last year who just took off, right? I mean, he had a, you know, kind of a slow first month, and they worked him in on the third line, and then he just exploded in the final 5 months of the season, and he had those 10 points in the playoffs. And I just think that everybody thought that he would immediately jump to the next level, and that hasn't happened. You know, he's in some ways, you know, again, finding his way, and probably, you know, part of it is trying to learn a position center that he didn't play last year. Last year he was you know, playing on the wing most of the year, and you can kind of hide over there a little bit more than you can otherwise. So I don't know. I mean, the part of me that sees, you know, Landeskog struggling, Duchesne struggling, you know, McKinnon really struggling, you just have to think that eventually they're going to get it going because they're just too talented.
People on the text line want to know what's going on because Rhett asked all the questions minus one in that segment.
You know, that's a great question. I was wondering, too, did you have to have, like, a bathroom break or something?
No, I was here the whole time.
Well, you can't keep up with those quality of questions is the problem, Eric. When I ask a question, it's a question.
Well, it is kind of a declarative, you know, sentence. You know, you state a point, you ask a question, and then you stop. You know, it's not like a big, long, meandering, you know, finally getting to the point kind of thing. So, yeah, those are good for when you're the guest like me. You know, those are good questions.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, there was nothing worse than having Boomer come in with his radio microphone and stick it in my grill in the room. It's like he wanted to hear himself talk.
Good to talk to you, Eric. Have a fine weekend. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Eric DeHatchick. What did get into you?
You gave him a
brought to you by Rhett Warner.
Brought, yeah, apparently.
He was hot. He got the hot hand.
Jeez.
Didn't ask a question with Derek. Felt a little bit sheepish.
Yeah, you were nowhere to be found during the Derek Wills.
Well, I got distracted by my fantasy football,
yeah,
which is falling apart.
Couple now, big matchups this week.
Yeah, we'll get into it because there are two huge matchups in our media fantasy football league, which I know is thrilling to everyone listening.
They're hanging on the edge of their seats.
Survivor football and more on tonight's matchup, all coming up. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
What the hell are you doing in there?
What?
Well, what is this?
First, you cut off Pinder halfway through his update.
You nail Pinder, and then you drop this on us?
He said the thing. You suggested we switch to Jimmy Buffett.
This
is me.
For DeHatchick.
This is Jimmy Buffett?
This is not Jimmy Buffett.
If this is Jimmy Buffett, this is news to me.
That's Jimmy Buffett.
This is not Jimmy Buffett.
Kirsch, can you slap that guy? Kirsch just walked in, please.
Yeah.
He's falling asleep.
Yeah. This is not what I programmed on. Yes.
Jimmy Buffett? Come on, DeFore. We love you, but I can't accept. You just told me you sent me a trade, and on this alone, I reject it. I am not even going to look at it, and I'm just rejecting it on this performance alone.
Who
does sing that song?
I should know.
Because YouTube is telling me Jimmy Buffett. And
it's not Jimmy Buffett.
I don't know
Buffett.
Enough to know
it's like
that.
April Wine.
It's Rupert Holmes. Thank you, text line.
If you YouTube Jimmy Buffett, Pina Colada song. It just showed up.
Well, so
I
it's
don't
on,
know.
It's on the internet.
How was I going to know?
It's
yes.
on the internet, so it's got to be true. Is that
YouTube.
How it works?
It's YouTube's fault.
Yeah, no, it's your fault for
not celebrating the entire catalog.
That's right.
Buffett. Yeah.
Or whoever.
Pina Colada.
I love it.
You know what? Also, Jimmy Buffett does not sing Lime in the Coconut, if you were going to play that one next.
Shake it all.
Or any other beach summer drinking song.
Does he sing Kokomo?
See,
no, he doesn't.
Neither of you guys can tell me who actually sings that song.
Which?
The Pina Colada song there. Who is it?
It's Rupert Holmes.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Well, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Keep your mic on, DeForest. we have a significant week in fantasy football.
Big.
I am taking on the winless Jason's Beard.
I got to get desperate here because
it's been ugly.
It's bad.
Jason's Beard is over on the season.
So let's clear this up for all the folks listening there. DeForest didn't make it through week one in Survivor. Couldn't pick one out of the first.
Took the Bears.
Any team. Yeah. Couldn't pick a winner.
And he's now 0-6 in our media football pool. Mm-hmm.
We did skip week one for those confused why we've only got six wins and losses.
So I am taking on the 0-6 Jason's Beard. I am 4-2, and you two donkeys are playing each other, Pinder versus Warner.
It's going to be a massive headbutt.
I'm at 500. Retro, 2-4.
I've had the injury bug. I have battled last week, lost Freddie Jackson.
I do as well. AJ Green's
been hurt. Adrian Peterson, who was probably my number one pick.
Yeah, that's fair.
That one stings. But
it's his fault.
Excuses. Yeah. It's not my way of doing business.
Select each other.
We're going to have a significant bet on the line.
Yes.
Which, if I lose, I will not pay.
Mm.
So what is it going to be?
Well, he's proposing some type of festive affair.
A celebration involving
a pubish type event.
Yes, and maybe some grub.
No, I think what we need to do is we have the C-Train platform right out here on 7th Ave.
Yeah, we're right on the main transit corridor.
I don't really like my team.
I think what the loser needs to go to the corner, haul off his shirt, and run topless from this end of the block to the end and back.
How about across the street during rush hour traffic?
That's not far.
Yeah, but it's just traffic pouring off the trains. You'd be fighting your way through people with no shirt.
That's what I'm saying.
It'll be cold next week.
No, you don't need to clear that up for me. I'm aware, which is why I brought it up.
And you want us to go further.
Why do we have to run?
I just thought it'd be better for you. Less time in that frigid air with your...
I'll go stand on the corner with my shirt off and an I Love Pinder sign.
This is awesome. I have to do the opposite. I love Rhett. And how long on the corner?
Your pants off.
How many?
No, I'm doing shirt two if you're doing shirt.
Okay, how many rotations of the light?
No, during one, just one. One of the walk light signals.
One full crossing of 7th Avenue.
Is it allowed, Kirsch? Kirsch will join us.
Yeah. All right, so the loser is going to go topless and stand on the corner of 5th and 7th with an I love blank sign.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Done.
All right, moving on.
What day
on.
Are we doing this? Or is it whether we're going to, because we got to pick a firm day, whether or not.
Next Tuesday. It'll be done. Monday night, there'll be no math left after.
8 o'clock, we'll go from that to Will's.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's a good traffic hour.
You need to be on your phone so we can talk to you while you're out there.
How can I hold up the sign?
Just hold one hand and we got to talk to you.
Sign. Who's going
to
make the sign?
We'll bring some supplies.
All right. That's doable.
What about you and Jay? What do you got on the table here? Come on, boys. We're going topless with a I love red or Pinder sign. At least do something.
Well, I ain't taking my shirt off.
I know. So figure out something to do. You know what? You guys, you're both on Twitter. You have to have a Twitter avatar war.
All right.
Whoever wins get to pick the picture of the other guy's Twitter avatar. I like those ones.
Which is the Twitter picture for those uninitiated.
So for Jay, you could have some dreaded hippie playing a guitar in a park, and he might pick a fat, fat man for you. I don't know.
All right, Survivor.
Why did you go straight to that? Survivor football, you two are still alive.
Yes.
As established, DeForest was out in week one. I went out
four.
Week two.
You took the Buffalo Bills last week. They came through with a last.
I've had a few barn burners.
Nail biters.
You've taken the Browns, who came back from 29 points down for the greatest comeback in team history. Mm-hmm. You've taken the Buffalo Bills, who won on the final play of the football game.
Mm-hmm.
You had Arizona early before anyone knew they were going to be half decent.
They rolled.
And he accidentally picked the Giants one week, thinking they were New England, and they won.
It's when they turned. Yeah, they were 0-2, and then they won.
Oops.
He's just flying by the seat of his pants. Perfect. He's been awesome. I'm out of a lot of the good teams. The only really good team left is Dallas. I'll take them at home over the Redskins. That, I believe, is the Monday nighter.
It is the Monday nighter.
So I'm going to go with Dallas on Monday night. I've used Seattle. I've used New England. I've used Denver. I've used San Diego. I've used Philadelphia, Indy. I don't have a lot of good teams left.
Which one's the home team? The one on the left or the right?
The left is the home team. Dallas is the hot pick of the week, but a lot of that is because the situation I'm in as well. You've taken a lot of the favorites. The best teams have been used once. You cannot use them again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cleveland is getting a lot of interest as well. They're at home against the Raiders, who are 0-6. Miami, the third most popular pick.
Could you just get to the GD point and do this already?
New England.
We don't need the full diatribe.
New England.
We would have the full diatribe if you were in, let's be honest. New England, he is selecting. Where are New England at?
They're at home to the Chicago Bears.
There you go.
There you have it.
And the Bears are a hot mess.
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
I've got Dallas on Monday night over the Redskins.
Hmm.
The Washingtons.
Both safe picks. I think you're both going to stay alive for another week.
It's called Survivor, not Risker.
So now you wanted us to hurry up?
Well, it's enough listening to Pinder rattle off NFL schedules.
Okay, now what?
I don't know. Now what do you want?
Do you want to rattle off some NFL schedules?
No, I really don't. We have not talked about Game 2 of the World Series. That's two true. Lopsided games for each team.
Do you think that the losing team will put up three runs next game?
After a 7-1 loss, mm-hmm. then a 7-2 loss, you're predicting a 7-3 Game 3 victory for either team?
I'll tell you what, the Royals seem to be have a little bit swagger back.
Well, they got a lead. Yeah. That's the thing with them. They need to have a lead, or at least have it be close. You give up three in the first inning, and your ability to ride your bullpen goes away.
I was a little worried in the first inning when the Blanco cranked one.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, is this going to turn into a four-game sweep where boring? We've been so excited about all this great baseball, and then it's over in four?
Shades of game one. They allowed three in the top of the first in game one, and then there's another run for the Giants game two.
I didn't even have it on. It was across the ticker on the bottom of the screen, and I'm like, oh. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm back on the Royal bandwagon and excited about it. When's the next game?
Tomorrow, from San Fran.
Tomorrow, San Fran.
That's right.
Pitching?
I have it here. Pause, please.
Last night, Hunter Strickland in the five-run sixth inning. Strickland comes on, gives up a two-run double, and then a two-run home run, and then starts barking at Salvador Perez.
Now, was he barking at him, or was he just barking?
There was something going on there. He's a little testy because it might have a little bit to do with the 5 1/3 innings he's pitched in the mm-hmm. postseason has given up 5 home runs. That's a good ratio. That's, if you're a hitter,
yeah,
not so much the pitcher.
Your probable starters for tomorrow, Tim Hudson, still alive and actually pitching in the majors. The righty for the Giants, Jeremy Guthrie, who reminds Boomer of country music.
Jeremy
What?
We can't do this again.
What are you talking about?
Well, my thing was Jeremy Guthrie. Whenever I hear Jeremy Guthrie, it reminds me of Woody Guthrie. And when I think of Woody Guthrie, it reminds me of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Working Man. Because he's singing a song about Woody Guthrie. This land is your land. This land is my land. I'm a working man. So every time I hear Jeremy Guthrie's name, I go very quickly to the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Okay, well, that's great. Great story. Talk about...
I knew he'd hate it. That's why I teed you up. It was one of the worst segments we've done in the last 10 years.
That's not true. Have you been around?
It was a disaster. Hey,
Tim Lincecum used to be the first pick overall in fantasy baseball, and now...
Yeah.
I forgot all about him.
Yeah, he struggled.
They put him out there, and he hurt himself.
Well, didn't he just throw a no-hitter, like, last year?
I think it was this season.
Or this, yeah. Like, right out of nowhere, inexplicably, this guy who was left for dead comes back with a no-hitter.
Tough to reinvent that, what do you call it, pitch? The stride? The delivery?
He's got such a violent delivery. Because he's just a wee waif of a boy.
From the ankles.
He's just a wee lad.
That guy's a length. That's a beanpole there.
But he can bring it. Here's what I think is going to happen. I believe Well, I know you're leaving.
Absolutely.
Warner. And I think I'm leaving. And Ryan Pinder is going to steer this bus home on your Thursday morning.
It's been fun working with you, Bo.
What you want to talk about? Jason Lacanfora, NFL insider, coming up. Shank Sports Grill.
It's moving back to Winnipeg.
Here, listen.
It's last show.
And a song by Woody Guthrie. This land is your land. It ain't my land. I'm a working man. Nowhere to go.
Actually, I have somewhere to go. That's the point I was making, is that I'd have to go. So, Pools and Profs with Scotty Taylor with Ryan Pinder. Why did we lose the volume on that? Where did it go?
Jeez. It's 9 o'clock.
Jason Lacanfora, what you want to talk about?
I was born to the sunrise. Breaking back all day, now I've got...
Freaking nitty-gritty dirt band. Gets me every time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.